and welcome to another Newsmakers podcast. Today we talk with Rodney Koop, who's the CEO and founder of The New Flat Rate. We talk about the contracting world, how to keep your employees happy, and a different way to price your projects. Hope you enjoy the conversation. And now we're going to bring in Rodney Koop, HVAC contractor turned CEO and founder of The New Flat Rate. Thanks for joining us today, Rodney.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, Kyle.
I'm going to try to pick your brain a little bit about the contracting world. First question I have here that kind of came to mind is we're getting ready for the busy furnace season for obviously a big chunk of the company, for the country. How can contractors avoid technician burnout in these high volume time periods?
Well, that's a good question. And of course, we have clients in all 50 states and including Canada. So you're right. This is the time of year when it's heating season is kicking in. And when we think of technician burnout, we usually the first thought is that they're having to work long hours. They're having to work weekends or things like that. And, you know, and that is the case in a lot of times. But I don't know that that is as much technician burnout as what's going on then. For example, I worked in northern Minnesota as an electrician, and in the wintertime, it wasn't uncommon to have to drive 30 miles out into the country to some farmer because they didn't have heat. They had electric furnace and no heat. Well, working late hours never bothered me at that time, or making emergency calls never bothered me, just because when you got their heat on, they were so appreciative. And I suppose because it was so darn cold up there.
Right.
But as a technician, I got more value out of being their hero than I got burnout out of having to work a few extra hours, because we were so appreciated. And so I think that as an owner of a contracting business, we sometimes forget that our service technicians will go above and beyond for legitimate reasons. And if we show real serious appreciation, like, wow, Joe, I can't tell you how much it means to me that you were willing to stay after and work late to take care of that that problem. They are so thankful for what you did, and I just want you to know we all appreciate it. I think technician burnout a lot of times equals technician underappreciation. I guess that's my comment there.
Okay. That makes complete sense. We don't do that enough in life, I don't think. Give appreciation. You're right. It kind of dovetails a little bit into my second question here. The holidays, we're recording this the week of Thanksgiving, but obviously Christmas, New Year's right around the corner. How do you balance that, where that's a time of year where everyone wants to spend time with their family, but it's also a busy time for HVAC contractors, like we mentioned before?
Well, you do what you can do. For example, Thanksgiving Day, if somebody has to work Thanksgiving, they shouldn't have to work more than, you know, the first half of the day, so they can be with their family the second half, or vice versa. As a contractor, many times, if there was holidays, typically I took the calls on holidays. I didn't make my guys do them if there was, you know, if there was just a couple of emergency calls. But I think that's part of it. But here's something I think has totally been forgotten in the industry, and that is this. We have so jumped over ourselves saying, oh my gosh, we have to jump and we have to go right now because the customer just called. They call and they say, gee, you know, we've got a sink backed up. My furnace is maybe, you know, or something doesn't, maybe I'm not getting enough air in one room, whatever. And we think that it's all about going right now. Whereas if it's a holiday, if it's after hours, if it's a weekend, even if this is a service agreement customer, even if you promised them same day service, you can still ask them and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you're having this problem. Hey, listen, we're going to try to get out there today. I might be able to get you some help today, but if we can't, will somebody be home tomorrow? Now, when you ask a question that way, and you just simply say, will somebody be home tomorrow? nine times out of 10, well, at least seven or eight times out of 10, they're going to say, hey, you know what, tomorrow will be fine. Or wait, I'll be home on Friday. Let's do it then. When you take away the customer's ability to make a decision and you make it for them, you typically err in trying to over-deliver something that they're not asking for. And when we over-deliver what the customer's not asking for, somebody takes the heat, and it's typically our technician. And here's why. He gets out there, and he finds out that some kid dropped a teddy bear down a vent, and that's why there wasn't air in that room. And the technician, who is a craftsman, who is skilled, talented, experienced, he knows that could have waited.
Right.
So let's just not be so quick to send these people out after hours and weekends, and let's just have a little talk with the customer and find out if this is something that can wait. Typically, your customer will still, they'll be happy to wait for you. They will be loyal. They're not going to call somebody else.
Oh, no, yeah, that makes complete sense. I get what you're saying there. The next one is kind of a pretty general question of how do you keep employees happy? And to be honest, the answers to the first two were a good start, right? You look out for their best interest on their time, and then you also give them appreciation. Any other tricks of the trade you could provide?
Well, first of all, that is very basic. But when you talk about keeping employees happy, we have to look back at why did we lose so many technicians from the industry? And I've said many times that in the year 2000 was the first year in the history of the world that skilled labor was paid less than factory workers. And here's the reason. Factories were growing. Manufacturing was booming, and they needed skilled technical people. And guess where they found them? Heating, air, electrical contractors had skilled workers. But we were undercompensating them. And I will say this, I lost technicians to factories for, number one, consistency. They knew they were going to get 40 hours every week, period. Number two, they knew when they didn't have to work. Their wives and their families could expect them home for supper, or at least home whatever shift they were working. They knew if they were going to have to work weekends, so they had consistency. But here is the big kicker, and it's that the decision makers, the people that made these decisions that cost us so many technicians in the industry to be lost to manufacturing labor were the families, the spouses, who said, if you went and worked for that manufacturer, we would have full health insurance, we would have dental insurance for the kids, they would even buy us eyeglasses for the kids. Plus they do all these other things, and then you wouldn't get called out in the middle of the night. So in appealing to wanting to keep your employees happy, I think what I'm saying is, you need to take a hard look at how can I keep their family happy.
Okay. No, that's good. And then how, what's the benefit of that? I'm assuming that means people are sticking around longer, working a little harder for you, maybe increasing your bottom line or your average ticket price. Are those all benefits of doing all this?
One of the biggest costs in the service industry is simply turnover. It is huge, because when do your technicians leave you? Everybody will say, when you need them the most.
Right.
The reason they leave you when you need them the most is because you kept counting on them more and more. The dispatcher knows that Joe will always be there, that she can always give the after-hour calls to Joe. So the ones that you keep putting the additional work on, the additional pressure, the additional expectations, they're the ones that when they do leave, you really, really feel it. But there's a lot more to it. So keeping them is one thing. Keeping them and their families happy is another. But now let me tell you a benefit, an overlooked benefit to all of this right now in the history where we are in 2018. And that is this. In the service industry, we now have begun to be more profitable, more understanding the relationship between gross margin and gross pay for our technicians. We can pay more. A lot of contractors are now giving full benefits, giving bonuses and incentives that they weren't back in the year 2000. The manufacturers have gone through a new round after the economic crash. Over the last 8-9 years, they've been growing. And what's happened? They've been hiring like crazy in the last 2 years, but they are hiring in at low levels again, or excuse me, at low pay again, which means there's an opportunity to go back toward manufacturing and hire people away from manufacturing back into our industry. There's a huge opportunity there. So I think that's all good as far as making more money. I will say this, the average auto dealer, their average repair on your car or truck is 4 times the average repair, say, in the HVAC industry, which means we are undercharging massively. However, if you just simply raise your prices, it won't work, because the technicians will resist it, customers will resist it, and you'll have a bad closing rate. So you need to instill processes that cause your profit to go up dramatically, and then you need to share that with the technicians and their families.
Can you maybe give you a few specifics on the processes you'd be talking about?
Well, as a contractor, when I began to use flat rate pricing in 1996, but in 1996 we weren't charging enough. And the customer was balking at our labor rates. So we went to flat rate pricing to hide labor rates. We were able to set our prices and not have customer resistance. But we also added something. Most of us added a service and diagnostic charge. In my case, my average ticket was $58. I went to flat rate, but I added a $49 service charge, which effectively doubled my average ticket. You see, it wasn't doubled because I went to flat rate. It was doubled because the industry could stand that additional charge. That made sense. Well, nowadays, flat rate pricing puts the emphasis on the parts, and Amazon, Craigslist, eBay, Home Depot, every place else has made parts a commodity. And so flat rate doesn't work anymore. And that puts pressure on the technician because they get resistance and they have to try to convince the technician or the customer that it's worth the money. They weren't born for that. They weren't hired to sell. They didn't want to sell. Mm. So we just simply instilled a process called menu pricing. We give the technician a process through a tablet, through a mobile device, where no matter what the diagnosis is, the technician, the owner, the customer is going to see a menu which will have 5 options. There will always be 5 options. Not 5 packages, not 5 bundles, but 5 options on solving the problem that they brought you there for. So by going from a wholesale method to a retail method, what happens is there's no selling pressure because there's no longer any selling required. Which, by the way, makes it very easy to hire technicians away from your competitors who are trying to get them to sell when they don't want to. They will come and work for you where there's no selling required, and then there's no buyer's remorse. So, plus your average ticket doubles or triples. So you can put the money back into the industry, back into your company, and by making the job so easy that your technicians can go back to being craftsmen and they can go home feeling like they've done a great job again, yet with a bigger paycheck. Now, to me, all of that, you have to make their life easier, less stressful, and they have to be paid a livable wage. And all that can be done now. It was very difficult to do that 10, 15 years ago.
So I guess like you could relate it to a restaurant menu, right? If you want to get the onion rings instead of the French fries, you can have them, but here's the cost. You don't negotiate that, or you don't bundle it up. It's what it is, right?
Right, but it's way, way more than that, Kyle. That's a good example. And so let me tell you, say two things about that. The first thing is this: hundreds of millions of dollars in products and services are sold every single day by waiters and waitresses using a menu and no sales training. Now, we've got to take notice of that. But now, number two, you said they could get the French fries or the onion rings. That is not a true menu solution. The menu solution is this, Kyle. They see the fries, or they can get the curly fries, or they can get the cheese-covered fries, okay? Or they can get the onion, cheese, and everything fries. You see what I mean? It's a better solution. If I want fries, give me a menu that offers me fries and better fries. You see? Because you didn't try to sell me onion rings or anything else, so you never turned on sales resistance.
Okay, no, that makes sense. And then, so you're saying contractors that should or do this, then they don't have the typical salesperson that goes out and makes calls, or do they?
Well, the fallacy in our industry, and not everybody agrees with me, is that there is no such thing as a selling technician. Now, you can sell a salesman out to sell equipment if you want to, but you're not going to be able to get service technicians to sell and upsell because it's not in their blood. Now, about maybe 5% of the technicians, they actually can sell and upsell, but when you start pushing them down that path, they simply become entrepreneurs, and they will leave you and go work for your competitor and then start their own business. The last 20 or 30 years has proved that. And that's why there's 20 to 30 times more competitors now than there was 30 years ago. So technicians don't sell, won't sell, can't sell, never will. The guy that can is an entrepreneur, not a service technician, and you're going to lose him. But with that, you lose your craftsmanship. We can't keep pushing the craftsman out because he doesn't sell. Simply give him a tool that does the selling for him. Give them a menu, show them how to show it to the customer, and the customer says, "I'll do that, I'll do that." And the technician now gets a pat on the back because he did a great job of repairing and he did what they wanted.
I guess I understand that on service calls, but if I'm a contractor here in Michigan and someone calls me out of the blue and says, "Hey, we're thinking about upgrading our system," and I know that's probably more rare than contractors wished it was. But there's nothing wrong with the system, but they're interested in getting a new one. Who does that contractor send out? A technician then? Or is there actually a
It
sales force?
totally depends on the contractor. Some contractors can afford to keep a salesperson on the board, one or more, and maybe they do. But maybe you only have one or two service techs, so maybe the owner goes on that call, or maybe the service techs go on that call, but it's a very simple process. "Oh, Mr. Customer, gee, I'm glad you called us. Let's take a look at your system. What is it that you want to do?" So you have the conversation. And when it comes down to presenting, you just simply say to the customer, "Hey, I've got some options for you. Would you like to see them? Hey, here's the top option." So the salesperson, whether it's a technician or not, is still doing a diagnosis. Even a salesperson goes out and diagnoses what do they want, what do they need, what's the real issue here. Now, with our system, the diagnosis leads you to a page. You're going to show them a page. They're going to see five options. If they just want a furnace, they'll see five options on a furnace. If they want a high-end furnace, we can show them five options on that. If they want a furnace and an air conditioning package, we can show them five options on that. This is extremely easy, but let me suggest that most consumers do not feel like they have time for an hour and a half sales pitch.
Right, absolutely.
Now, I pretty much I buy all the appliances in my house. I have for years. I can go in and buy a washer. As a matter of fact, my washer quit when my wife was out of town recently, and I didn't want to fix it. Bam, I go down to Lowe's. I probably spent 5 minutes picking out a washer, took it home, put it in. If somebody wanted to sit there for an hour and a half and try to sell me a washer, they wouldn't have got my business. Heating and air is a little different, but from a consumer perspective, let me just give you an example of what's going on right now in the auto industry, okay? Believe it or not, people are, especially this new young generation, they do not want to talk to a car salesman. They don't want to talk to them on the phone. They don't want to talk to them in person. They do their research online. They want to see the car online. They will go to a auto dealer's website, choose the car, make their offer, and they will want the car delivered to their home or business. They do not even want to test drive the car.
It's a different world for them.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
And now you look at your consumer. Okay, what's the, if a consumer says, I need, let's say they think, you know what, I think I might need a new furnace. Immediately they cringe because they do not want a bunch of salesmen coming to their house.
Right.
That's why they call and say, we're thinking about a new furnace, but we're wondering about how much. What they're really saying is, we're thinking about a new furnace, but boy, we don't want some salesman coming out here trying to sell us something.
Right.
So when you understand that mentality, then you script your response to that. Like, oh my gosh, Mr. Customer, tell me about your furnace. Are you sure you have to replace it? Because we found a lot of them can be repaired. So you just start to take away some of the fear. And then you say, and then you might tell them, well, tell me about it, because normally I might have somebody in your area, and they can probably stop by and just take a quick look at it. If it can't be, they can just show you a price in the book, take about 5 minutes.
Right.
Again, I'll go back to the auto industry. When people buy a car, they absolutely do not want to go sit in the finance office and let the F&I guy try to sell them drivetrain insurance, gap insurance, roadside assistance. Yet the dealer knows that the bulk of their profit is going to come from that F&I guy showing them, by the way, a menu is the most powerful thing in the finance office. So here's what the good dealers do. The customer agrees with the salesperson, okay, I'm going to buy the red truck. Salesperson says, great, let me write it up. And then he says, tell you what, then he introduces them to the F&I guy, and that guy says, hey, don't get comfortable. This is going to go really, really fast. Don't get comfortable. We'll just do some paperwork, and you'll be out of here. You see what I mean? They immediately preempt.
Yeah.
They know that person does not want to sit down with somebody trying to sell them. And so you can do the same thing. Hey, don't get comfortable. He's going to come out there, but he won't need to be there long unless you want him to be.
Right. I get that. All right, that sounds great. Hey, Rodney, I appreciate you taking the time. If people want to learn about this process and the new flat rate, where should they go?
Hey, they can go to menupricing.com, menupricing.com, or thenewflatrate.com. They can find our phone numbers. They can call. We're just happy to talk to them anytime.
Okay, appreciate it, Rodney. Thanks for the time today.
Kyle, you have a great day.